About 30,000 people reportedly kill themselves each year in the United States, and suicide is the third leading cause of death for people 10 to 24 years of age. So recognizing the warning signs can be life-saving. Joining us this morning to discuss the special role for clergy in this effort are Reverend Terry Culbertson, manager of the Center for Spiritual Care at Upstate Medical University, and Mr. Sam Katropa, a suicide prevention coordinator with the New York State Office of Mental Health. Welcome to you both. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Well, you know, suicide can be a pretty frightening thing for all of us in the community. Many times, especially if it happens to someone close to us, I think it causes us to think, what should we have seen, or could we have prevented this? How could we have intervened in some way? What did we miss? So let's talk about suicide itself. What causes people to, take their own lives?
Well, each of us is going to be unique, and that's not meant as a disclaimer, but each of us truly is unique, and each of our circumstances are reflected in our individual struggles. The reality is that each of us each day have some sort of drama or struggle. There are none of us who are free of that. And so how we contend with that, hopefully over lifetimes, we develop skills and abilities, we have resources and networks. However, there are times for certain of us that we reach a point where we begin to struggle with the idea that we can continue on. And it's so important as a result that whatever those issues are, that people stay connected, that they not self-isolate, that they seek the help that's available, and help truly is available. You know, somebody dies in the United States every 16 minutes by suicide. So this has been declared now a public health issue. We have a number of different populations that we're certainly concerned about, but you know, any person at any time and any family can experience the threat of suicide, and we encourage people to become aware about it. There are a number of websites we can talk about later, and get people information. The clergy themselves have a unique position, because the clergy are readily acceptable by most sectors of society. And so they have the opportunity to be exposed to and hear about the concerns of individuals and potentially identify suicide.
I want to get to that in much more detail in a minute, but just, Terry, who do you see, are the people who are most at risk for this? I mean, we've talked about the fact that everyone is an individual, but there are some often precipitating factors that may lead someone to consider.
Actually, well, I know Sam knows the statistics. I think as one grows older.
There's some of the ways of looking that if we were to group individuals. We know, for example, and you've already identified one perspective
group,
on that. But if we break it down even more finitely, more specifically, we know that among high schoolers, for example.
So teenagers.
High schoolers, if we can stay with that specific age group, that group, suicide is actually the third leading cause of death for high schoolers. For the college age individual, the 20 to 24-year-old, it's actually the second leading cause of death, which if we sit and we think about ourselves in that age group at that time of our life, and we think about someone being so challenged and so hopeless that they consider killing themselves and do kill themselves, it's all the more dramatic and certainly tragic.
The age-related issues of that group are profound, with the changes of, physiology and emotionality and all the coming of age, I think.
Absolutely.
It's overwhelming.
And you mentioned also the population as they age.
Yeah.
Aging population.
I think 55 and older, the trending is suicide is more prevalent, especially with men.
Right. In particular, 75-year-old males and up.
Males, I think, too. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And
why do you think, what are the underlying causes for that? What are the theories?
Oftentimes, you're going to be seeing issues of loss, significant successive losses in their lives.
Of relationships,
relationships.
Quite often.
Meaning, purpose. And Erickson talks about integrity versus despair is the great challenge of that age group, and despair can be so prevalent because who am I if I can't work? If my spouse is sick or died, all those things.
Or my friends have moved away, or they're perhaps gone. They're gone.
Yeah.
Well.
Or they've died. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think men have more access to more violent means of killing themselves, too.
Well, typically, yeah. the ratio of death to attempt, 4 times as many men die by suicide as women. Mm. Women attempt 8 times as many times as men. But as far as death goes, men die more. And mm-hmm. and there's a number of reasons potentially for that, depending upon the individual, certainly. But women typically have more access to their own emotions and are willing to do help-seeking kinds mm-hmm. of behaviors.
So in the cases of women, perhaps, is it possibly more of a quote-unquote cry for help as opposed to a male who may just have made the decision and they're going to act on it?
At any time, I think the most useful way to look at this is that at any time, that whenever anyone gives any indication that they're having thoughts of suicide, that we address it as this is the a concern that has to be addressed immediately.
So it's not a manipulative act or anything. Mm. It's really should be seen much more as a real threat.
If someone is having struggles and is having trouble finding a way through dealing with life's issues such that they feel so stuck that they're
so
consumed and so overwhelmed, yeah. Exactly, despairing.
Despair, I think, is a big word.
And hopeless that they're considering suicide or attempting suicide, then the end result is always the same, mm-hmm. and that is that we need to intervene immediately mm-hmm. for those individuals.
So it's quite a serious thing, and it needs to be very, very rapidly responded to in some way. And clearly, I want to talk about that. I'm going to ask you to hold that thought because we have to take a short break right now, but we're going to be right back. So please stay right with us. I'm Linda Cohen. This is HealthLink on Air, FM News Radio, 106.9 and 570 WSYR. Welcome back to HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen along with my guests, Reverend Terry Culbertson and Sam Katropa. And we're talking about suicide and how to recognize the signs. And also we're going to be talking about the special role that clergy can play in helping to prevent this. So before the break, we were talking about the kinds of people who might be at risk or mm-hmm. who might be more at mm-hmm. risk for this kind of act. And one thing I just wanted to follow up on also was when you were talking about teens or high schoolers, it seems to me there's been a lot in the press of late about the effect of bullying mm-hmm, and how that has led to younger people perhaps taking their own lives. Is that your experience? Have you seen an increase in that kind of behavior?
Well, certainly
subsequent to this?
Yeah, I think there's a number of things that we need to be aware of. First of all, that the nature of bullying has obviously been going on since
time immemorial.
Right. But if someone was experiencing that and then went home, they had their home, they had perhaps their family or not, but that ended. Now with the importance to the younger group of social media.
Mm. Cyberbullying.
And mm-hmm. the access to connecting, and it becomes via the internet, and it becomes their town square. Mm-hmm. It becomes their drop-in center. And so if they remove themselves from that, they're even more isolated. And never knowing what one is going to find when one signs up to their Facebook page or whatever it might be that's mm. already been posted, knowing that everybody can see what's just been posted. Mm. It's a seemingly never-ending pressure on the young individual.
I think that's quite perceptive, and I think that's probably why we're seeing some dramatic examples of children basically taking their own lives.
And the importance of the peer group at that age and the shame that is connected with embarrassing things, things that you wish hadn't gotten out there.
Well, let's talk about what some of the warning signs, and I want to get into the whole clergy mm-hmm. and the role clergy can play, and this is, I think, kind of a very, not novel, but kind of a very positive effort that you're making. But what are some of the warning signs for people in general of how you might recognize that somebody is contemplating something like this?
Mm. Well, you know, so often folks focus on, and certainly, Terry, as you share your experiences as well, so often folks want to focus on, well, what did he or she say? But in fact, it's not only what people articulate, but also how they communicate in a variety of ways. So, for example, if we see people who are becoming increasingly moody, if we see people who are finding as though they care less about the things that were important, whether it be something seemingly mundane as
their appearance, things that normally they would have cared about.
Right. As we look at how does this individual usually present themselves, and we now find that, as Terry was just saying, that suddenly they're becoming unkempt. Individuals who are perhaps trying to give away the important things in their life.
Withdrawing from society or from their friends, those kinds of things.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so you might find an individual who, let's say their pet is considered by them to be a family member, and all of a sudden they're addressing others and asking them to take this pet because it can't be bothered anymore. People becoming argumentative, people learning that people are perhaps at one time a victim of abuse or had prior suicide attempts themselves. As we start to put these different components together and we start looking at them, then we start being concerned with what are causing these changes and where might these changes be going. Oftentimes,
quite often it sounds to me like a lot of these could be linked to depression, basically. So a lot of these signs and symptoms that you're talking about can also be go along with someone who's quite depressed.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't necessarily, it doesn't always necessarily follow that then they would act on ending their life, though. Mm-hmm. Am I correct?
That's correct. However, as we put the different cues together, the different red flags, the different hints, however we want to characterize that, we look at it, that's the time to begin asking the individual, given all that's been going on, sometimes others have thoughts of suicide or think about suicide. Have you been thinking about suicide? And if so, then let me listen to you about that. People oftentimes get stuck with feeling like they have to have some great wisdom, and as a result,
shy away from that sometimes.
Well, people.
But what you're suggesting, though, is that the person who is recognizes this is a possibility, you're really encouraging them to ask. And clearly I want to get into that more as we talk about the specific role for the clergy. But it strikes me, and somewhere I read something, that many people will, they will not usually communicate a plan for suicide to most people, but sometimes they may to someone who they're very personally close to, or someone like a clergy who may feel safer doing that.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's look at our language a little bit for a moment, if we could, and that is, let's kind of take and put the word plan on the side, because that means different things to different people. But the notion of I'm having thoughts of suicide, what we know is that over 90% of the individuals who have died by suicide, over 90% within 3 weeks of their death, have communicated to someone in their way, necessarily I'm having thoughts of suicide, but in some of the different behaviors and some of the kind of different ways, I feel so alone, I feel so burdened, there's no hope. Any of those kinds of statements, any of the kinds of behaviors we've mentioned, and there's a limitless number of behaviors we could list, that in of itself, they communicate that before their death. So over 90% of the people do. The issue for survivors, and we need to just talk I know we don't have a whole lot of time, but we need, for the caretaking of survivors, we need to let them know that more information has come out. There's more training available, but that they themselves cannot take upon themselves the burden of the fact that someone else has died by suicide in their immediate sphere, their family, because we can't control another individual. People who are having thoughts of suicide can be helped, but we can't help everybody.
I think that's a really critical point, because as I said at the outset, that I think very often when suicide occurs in our lives, we often will question, well, why didn't I see that?
Right.
Why wasn't I there enough sufficiently?
Exactly. Yeah, just a question, because I think, Sam, you had said at one point in our training that sometimes with the closest family member, there's the least obvious signs, while they might be giving signs, say to a clergy person, mm-hmm, or that we need to have our antenna up.
Well, getting to the clergy is because, yes, we need to have our antenna up. Yeah. What do you, I know you've been involved, you've had a clergy day recently where you've welcomed clergy to come in and talk about this issue and the role they can play. Excuse me. So what do you hope the clergy can do, and how are you training them? Because I don't want to run out of time.
Well, the particular training that we offered this time with Sam was, it's called Safe Talk, and it was a three-hour training that really assisted people in looking at the clues that they might have missed. And I think one thing about us as clergy, hopefully we're pretty nice people, and sometimes being nice can mean avoiding the hard things, and it's our role to approach the difficult subjects. If we see signs or symptoms without worrying about we're going to cause that person to kill themselves.
So you want people to step in. So Sam, yeah, what do you recommend they do?
Well, just first by just listening to your show, by creating an environment where people feel safe to tell somebody else that they're having thoughts of suicide, or acknowledging that they are, and that an individual will take the moment to ask them. It's, if they think it's being nosy, then think about it as being helpfully nosy. But the reality is that just by asking someone if they're having thoughts of suicide, that in of itself can help avert the suicide.
Because there's someone who cares?
Somebody
because
there's paid somebody attention to me.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. And all of a sudden, they're no longer alone.
But I guess the point is, you mentioned before that clergy quite often feel they have to have this ultimate wisdom or something to kind of eradicate the feeling that the person's having. Does that, as you said, potentially stop people from getting involved? And how do you encourage, you know, what do clergy say? What do you tell them to say? It'll be all right? I mean,
think what I got from the training, Sam, was, let's talk about this. I am listening to you. And the key thing of being available, without worrying about the right words necessarily or the right Bible verses. I mean, Scripture actually is full of stories of people that struggle with despair. And there's even some stories in Scripture that talk about suicide even. So it's not unknown to the human condition.
Right.
In the little bit of time we have left, it sounds like what you're doing is wonderful. If you're a clergy member listening, or you have some concern about someone in your family, what are the kinds of contacts people can use to get more information?
Well, recognizing there are a couple of resources, I'll share them real quickly. First, no matter where anyone is, they can call a number, which is the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. And that number is 1-800-273, and then the word TALK. Mm-hmm. So 1-800-273-TALK.
We'll have a link to that on our website as well.
Great. And that will link you to the closest emergency service line. Also, for Onondaga County specifically, it's 315-251-0600. That's the Onondaga contact line.
Well, thank you both so very much, Reverend Terry Culbertson, the manager of the Center for Spiritual Care at Upstate Medical University, and Sam Katropa, the Suicide Prevention Coordinator for New York State Office of Mental Health. This is incredibly important work. I'm inspired by what you're doing, and thanks so much for sharing it with us.
We have to take
a short break, but we'll be right back, so please stay there. I'm Linda Cohen. This is HealthLink on Air, FM News Radio, 106.9 and 570 WSYO.